Welcome to this edition of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson, an Australian look at reinventing yourself for retirement and getting yourself retirement ready. It's always fascinating getting to know what people are getting up to in retirement, how they are supplementing their incomes, pensions, where they have chosen to live, how they are filling their time, what charities they are supporting, and what adventures they are having. Anne will also talk to experts in their fields, including investing, health, estate planning, financial advisors, and seniors' health care.
Hello, it's Anne Nelson, your host for today's show. And what a treat I have in store today. A friend, Noel Edwards, has proven that you can have a hobby that you can make money out of in retirement. Noel took to the stock market investing. He studied up, read all the books, and he's found a way that he's comfortable with making money on the stock market and still have time to indulge his hobbies and passions. And that's what retirement is all about, isn't it? We need to be able to have a choice of what we do and when we do it once we get to that time in our lives when we can start pleasing ourselves. Welcome to the show, Noel. It's great for you to join me today.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here, Anne.
By way of introduction to my listeners, can you tell me a bit about your background, how you came to the idea of being able to be a share investor, and how long have you been retired?
Well, I was a quarantine officer working for the Australian Commonwealth Government for 25 years, and most of my career was in food exports and seafoods, meat, fruit and vegetables. And I did a variety of jobs over the years, become multi-skilled in doing things like international aircraft and passenger clearance, international vessels and cargo inspections. And I always had the goal of a retirement at 55 from when I was in my mid-20s. And I'm in my 8th year of retirement now. And I come across share trading when I met a guy called Robbie Fuller, who was a full-time investor and trader. I advised him that it was something I was interested in but didn't know where to start. And I suppose one thing led to another during that morning of having coffee with him, and he invited me to visit his home to discuss the stock market. So after a couple of cups of coffee and a few hours of talking, I basically walked out of there thinking I had absolutely no idea what Robbie was talking about. And that's how I started with trading and investing. But before I left, Robbie recommended three books that I start my education in the stock market with. And one of those books was called How to Make Money in Stocks by William J. O'Neill. The other one was Secrets for Profiteering in Bull and Bear Markets, and that was written by a guy by the name of Stan Weinstein. And the third one was Building Wealth Through Shares, which is written by guy by the name of Colin Nicholson. So that was my start of my education in the stock market. Yeah, so it all started from there, Anne.
So how long ago was that?
That would have been about 2002, 2003.
And were you retired then?
No, I was still working full time. I found it difficult juggling my quarantine work duties and I'm a keen gardener as well, and I love my travel and camping. So it was always a bit of a juggling act for me. But I used to sit in the outside the dining room in the office where I worked, and I'd sit back and I'd read the books. And then of the night, I'd be reading the books. And as I said, I really didn't have much of an idea, but I started pretty slowly and just doing research about the market. And Robbie was really good because he became my mentor. He guided me along the way. And I always had the dream of being successful. And I just kept reading the books and rereading them and following Robbie's recommendations. That was the way it started for me with my reading and doing my research.
So did you think you could make money out of shares at the beginning?
I wasn't too sure. It was a bit of an uncertainty factor there. So what I did was I took just small positions and worked on stock selection and building up my confidence and experience. It was just at the start of the mining boom here on a global basis. And what happened was I started doing charting after reading Stan Weinstein's book on profiteering and bull and bear markets, because it was basically a charting book. And for whatever reason, I don't know, but it really stuck to me, that book. And I thought all I wanted to be was a chartist. I wanted to be a successful chartist. I was in trading mining stocks and also some industrial stocks. But what happened was, after a few years, I realized that I was putting on trades and I was making a little bit of money here and there and losing a bit of money here and there. But every time I went to the accountant, it was probably only two or three stocks that really made me earn enough money to be able to make it worthwhile. So I knew I had to change. Then, of course, this was all leading up to the global financial crisis, and I was still working. And the global financial crisis happened, and I retired. And I started to get a bit serious about it then in retirement. Robbie guided me along the way. That's how it all started, really, getting serious. I didn't do much for the first few years after the global financial crisis because of the fear of the marketplace itself. As time went on, once I got into about 2011, 2012, I got a lot more confidence and I started taking out positions from there.
Has your investing strategy changed over the years?
Oh, yeah, it's changed a lot. And one of the reasons why was, just in discussions with Robbie, he told me about what's called the dot theory. And the dot theory is based on what he does in the stock market. And it's all about growth stocks. And growth stocks are companies that are producing really good fundamentals in the early stages of their growth as young companies. And it also encompasses being able to use charting to find the exact buy price or the exact buy points, and also to be able to find the proper selling points. And what I did was I started looking at what O'Neill did with his theory. And from that point on, once I started studying O'Neill's theory, that was it. I just knew that that was my dot. The fundamentals of a growth stock with growth in profits, in sales and revenue, earnings per share growth, which he places great importance on, and also return on equity. And once I started doing that, I started organizing my trading and my stock selections based around that, and then incorporating the charting to try and really execute my trades at the right time. So, yeah, I just started specializing in one sector, which is in growth stocks. And it was an enlightening moment. I really put a lot of work into my education by specializing in O'Neill's theory, and that encompassed, as I said, the fundamentals and also charting. So that's where it got to at that stage. That was a change. It was a big change for me. And once I realized how good O'Neill's theory was, that's when I thought I really need to specialize in it. And that's all I've ever done since.
How long have you been specialized?
Since early 2012. Yeah, that's how it changed. I started getting serious about my trading plan and I made it a living document. And by that, I meant that every time I learned something from O'Neill's theory, I would change it accordingly and I would include that in the changes. And it was a perfect match for me. And I don't know why it was, but just O'Neill's theory really suited me. And it's gone on from there, where that's all I specialize in now. As much as I do like reading other books from different authors, which I still do, I always go back to O'Neill's theory. And the way that I go back to O'Neill's theory is I've created a lot of files on all the different charting patterns that he uses, the buy and sell rules that he uses, and also about the fundamentals. And instead of referring to his book, I go into his site and I refer to the documents that I've printed down from his site. I've downloaded and printed. And the interesting thing is, Anne, is that they're all free. They're all free, and it's so good. and it's changed my life as far as my education in fundamental analysis and also charting.
What is the website that you're referring to?
It's called Investors Business Daily, and it was developed by William J. O'Neill. And William J. O'Neill, back in the 60s, as a young man, was interested in the stock market just like I was. But what he did was he read a few books from some of the famous traders of the 20s and 30s, and one in particular was called Jesse Livermore. And he learned a lot from him. And he went back over history back in the 60s, back to the late 1880s, and he studied all the famous stocks that came through the system. And from there, he was able to develop his theory on what actually made these stocks so famous. And that was based around what was the fundamentals of these stocks before they actually took off, and what were the chart patterns that they were creating before they actually took off. So it's all historical data, and that's what I liked about his theory. It's not someone's theory that's been developed on their own experiences. This is something that was developed out of what actually happened in the market over about an 80-year period. And then, of course, from there, he's rewritten the book a couple of times, and he's included the 100 greatest stocks of all time in America's history. And everything from the early days when they were opening up America with all the railway lines, they were all the big companies that were making big profits at the time, to the oil exploration companies, gas companies, and then, of course, the car companies. You name it, that's what happens, and that's what's still happening now, except what we're doing now is it's all this digital technology and cloud-based technology. The world has changed so much, but the interesting thing about it was that O'Neill's theory on what made the 100 greatest stocks hasn't changed. The fundamentals are still the same. The charts are still the same. The breakouts are still happening the same. So it's just that we humans keep repeating the same things over and over again. So it's pretty consistent. And that's what I specialise in, based around O'Neill's theory.
Can you give us a little bit of an insight into what you look for now in a stock? If you've got all the fundamentals worked out, you're happy that it's a growth company with good fundamentals, what else are you looking at?
What I do is I do scans of the market for stocks that are hitting 52-week highs. That means over a 12-month period, it's hit a 52-week high. And also you can do other scans too. And one of the other scans is a momentum filter, which is selecting stocks that have hit a 52-week high but have pulled back, but they've still got strong momentum with the uptrend. And most of the time, that's where I find the stocks, because I'll be looking at the charts and the chart patterns will stand out as being something that looks very good. And what I do is I measure the relative strength of the Australian All Ordinaries and the Australian ASX 200 and also the ASX Small Cap Index and the Mid Cap Index, because I want young stocks that are coming into the market that are only been listed over about the last 1 to 2 or 3 or maybe up to 5 years, and they're just starting their growth spurt where they're producing these incredible increases in revenue and profit growth and earnings per share. And that's what I'll be looking at. It usually goes hand in hand, because when you find a good chart, it means professionals are buying. So when the professionals are in there buying, they've got to have a reason to do it. And the reason is usually associated with the good, strong growth fundamentals. And what I do is when I measure the relative strength of the indexes, I measure the relative strength of the chart patterns, and then I find out the strength of the chart pattern in comparison to the All Ordinaries or the ASX 200 or the other indexes that I'm interested in. That tells you what sort of an uptrend it's in, how strong it is, and it also gives me an indication whether professional investors are buying. And that's what they call the smart money. So I really am following the smart money in the market, and that's usually associated with strong fundamentals and being supported by professional investors. As time's gone by, I'm always looking to the future, and I'm always looking to try and further my education. And it always gets back to going back to O'Neill's theory. They do a lot of webinars, and I sit back and I listen to the webinars. And I also, they do articles in Investor's Corner every day, and they might do a particular chart pattern, and I'll break it down, and I'll give an example of a chart pattern, and I'll break it down. They'll highlight where the buy points are and show you how to draw the downtrend lines and other technical analysis factors that need to be put into the charts to get an understanding of the stock and the chart itself. They also talk about management, and that's been another thing for me. As time's gone by, reading my books and wanting to further my education, O'Neill works on very tight risk management. He works on maximum of 8%. But that's what he's telling the general public and educating. But when you sit back and you listen to him in his webinars, most of the time his stop losses and risk management are based around risking maybe 3 to 5% on each trade that he does. So I started to focus on that and try and work out how I could be like that as well. And it's all based on percentages and your position size and being able to execute your trades at exactly the right time. And I suppose what it does is it certainly helps as far as the risk management is concerned, in that if you make a mistake and buy a stock that doesn't work out, or, for example, maybe the general market starts to decline and the stock rolls over and comes back and hits your stop loss, you're not giving back much of your capital. You've got capital to keep on trading. It provides the opportunity then to start looking again, but you learn from your mistakes. And sometimes it might not be my mistake. It might have been that the general market got weak and the stock rolled over with the general market. So I have to follow my risk management and use my stop loss, and I would sell and take a small loss. Then I'd start over again. And it's that starting over again and using your experience of what you've done in the past that is what can make a big difference. That's what I've found. Because what happens is you're analysing the chart again to find out where you might have gone wrong and other factors that may have come into play. And from there, it just eliminates that problem again. So I'm just narrowing it down to try and execute the trades at exactly the right time and pick the best charts as well.
Well, that's all very interesting. Thank you very much for everything that you're sharing today. I suppose not every stock is going to be a winner, isn't it? And that's something that we've all got to be prepared for.
Yeah, well, that's where it gets back to risk management and also stock selection and being able to put in the work in the first place. I mean, the work that I put into creating the files, I've got about 8 or 10 files with fundamental analysis and charting analysis. It's like if you go in and you do that sort of work and you educate yourself along those lines, it becomes part of your ownership. You own those files, and it's not done by just reading the book. The book can provide you with so much information, but it's like I've taken it another step further. And I've tried to replicate what O'Neill does. And by doing that, that means being able to select the best of the best stocks, being able to buy at exactly the right time. And what he also does is he has a way of what he calls rotating his stock selections. He goes, he might start out with 6 stocks when the market takes off and starts to move forward, and you're picking some of the best stocks, but some of them won't quite make the grade. What he does is he rotates from the weakest to the strongest stocks to concentrate his investments. And that way you really are following the best relative strength stocks with the best fundamentals. And also I might add that that usually correlates with what's happening with the professionals. So professionals are coming in and they're supporting these strong stocks because of the fundamentals. I've started practicing that over the last couple of years, and it's been pretty successful for me. I certainly wouldn't recommend it to everybody because It's something that you need to work on as far as your education is concerned. You need to have the knowledge and skills to be able to do it. I would also say that you would need to be able to have a different mindset, because it's not probably conventional. It wouldn't be your conventional way of investing and trading. You have to be able to control your emotions. So that was another thing that happened to me. And I went back to my mentor and had a talk to him about this, because when you have big positions, there's lots of fluctuations, which are just normal fluctuations, but it can certainly affect you as far as emotion is concerned. And he put me onto a couple of books, and they were written by a guy by the name of Mark Douglas. It's called Trading in the Zone and The Disciplined Trader, Developing a Winning Attitude. And I read those couple of books with the view of trying to control my emotions and to be able to just sort of stand aside so you're just looking at things in a different way. And that was a big thing for me to do. And it certainly made a difference to the way that the decision-making process is done by myself, because once emotion gets involved, you can make quick decisions and they can be bad decisions. And bad decisions usually in the past usually cost me money. Either cost me money because of stocks come back and hit my stop loss, or it cost me money because I'm giving back too much profit. It's a learning process. It's not something that's going to happen overnight. It really isn't. And I just really find it very interesting. And I suppose the interesting thing about it is that it's the uncertainty is what's really got me. I love this uncertainty. And that's the thing. You're working on probabilities in some case with charting, but the probabilities are that over those greatest 100 charts from America, they kept on repeating and they're still repeating now. So I feel that the probabilities are in my favor and I try to work on that. And I like the idea of the uncertainty. The uncertainty factor is really quite interesting, because every time I press the touch of a mouse to buy a trade, to sell a stock, it's like you're competing with the greatest investors and traders out there in the Australian market. And they could be from America or Europe, or they could be just Aussie people like myself that are amateur traders, or they could be the professionals. And I really find that quite interesting. It really keeps me on my toes, and I enjoy that sort of that side of the market, to try and keep on top of the uncertainty. I suppose just before I finish off on that point, the other thing I do, which I started about 3 or 4 years ago, is I keep a daily trading diary, and that has been so beneficial to me. Every day I'm recording price and volume action of the stocks that are in my portfolio and also stocks that I'm watching. And then that leads to me analyzing what's going on in the charts, especially because basically I'm a chartist and I just use fundamentals to find out what are the good, strong growth stocks. Those fundamentals that I listed earlier. I do that on a daily basis. And then at the end of the week, on the weekend, I'll sit down and I'll analyze those charts to death, the ones that are especially in my portfolio and the ones that are in my watch list. And I'm analyzing so that I can find out what my course of action is going to be for the week ahead. Right? I don't want any surprises in the week ahead. So I just follow my analysis. I'm outside the market, usually on a Saturday morning or a Sunday morning, and I don't want any surprises. So I analyze the charts and I write up what my plan's going to be for the week ahead. And I suppose what's interesting is that the charts don't really lie. They represent what's going on in the market. They represent what the professionals are doing and where they're putting their money. And that's what I want to do, follow those professionals. Whereas if you look at market announcements and you look at what the company representatives are saying in these announcements, well, I don't really think that some cases they're telling the whole truth. Charts don't lie, but humans do when it comes to manipulating the way that they write up the announcements and the way that they give interviews obviously they want the best for their stocks, but I just think that I'd rather stick with the charts and specialise with that rather than read the documents and try and analyse what's going on there and whether they're telling the whole truth. And I think that's my edge in the market. My daily diary, my analysis of the market and my stocks outside of the market hours on the weekend, and having a plan for the week ahead, my course of action. That's my edge. And all I'm doing is just following the professional money, professional buying with the price volume action. And that's the name of my game.
We're sort of getting towards the end here. It's very good of you explaining it all. Can you give the listeners three tips if they are looking at becoming a share investor?
There's no shortcuts. Definitely isn't. Not with the sort of thing that I'm doing. It's something that I've taken to. I've done it with the view of trying to be successful, but also I want to have a life outside the market because I'm a keen traveler, domestic and international travel. I love my garden, the tropical garden, fishing and camping. I like doing the house maintenance, and I'm a wine and food man. I've got a wine cellar. So I have my outside interests as well. But what I really do is it's all based on choice. When I'm in retirement like I am now, I have a choice how I spend my time. And I really focused on that as well because the choice factor is really good. And I suppose the best three things I could say is you want to become a consistently good growth investor and trader, then you must take a stance and specialize in a particular theory. And I mean, it could be Warren Buffett. I mean, he's not a growth investor, but if you're comfortable doing what Warren Buffett does, that's fine. But I want to be a growth investor and a chartist, and I want to be like O'Neill, right? So you need to specialise in one theory. You need to be an independent thinker, and you need to be disciplined. And like I do, I specialise in growth stocks. I read and reread the books and keep on top of the theory. And I'm not reinventing the wheel. It's about what actually happens in the market. And education yourself is time proven. It is, because there's no shortcuts. I suppose the other thing is that when you specialize in the charting side of things, you need to really get down to the nitty gritty of what it's all about and make sure you have a full understanding of it. Because if you don't, you can get in trouble. And, you know, I use discipline in what I do with my routine. And also, I suppose you could say I use stealth, because what I do on the weekend, analyzing my course of action with the charts for the week ahead with my stocks, is just sitting back waiting. I'm waiting for the downtrend line breaks, waiting for the pivot point breaks. So I just try to specialize in that. And lastly, I'd say, the three books you need to read is How to Make Money in Stocks, fourth edition by William J. O'Neill, Secrets for Profiteering in Bull and Bear Markets by Stan Weinstein, Basic Charting Analysis that was written before computers and the modern day charts. They used to draw them by hand. So that's what he did. The other book is Building Wealth Through Shares by Colin Nicholson. He has an enormous amount of free educationals just like O'Neill. And they're all there for the taking as far as people are concerned. You can pay an annual fee and you get a lot more in-depth analysis of what's going on in his own trading and his own portfolio. I suppose there's another guy too I've been following, which is he's a disciple of William J. O'Neill. It's called Mark Minervini. And it's Trade Like a Stock Market Wizard. I like his book too. And as I said before, the market psychology books, Trading in the Zone and The Disciplined Trader by Mark Douglas. So I'd say that'd be my main points as far as trying to advise other people and give some tips about become a share investor.
Thanks very much, Noel. Edwards, we've been listening with great fascination to your story here today. So did you ever think that when this all started, investing in shares, that you would end up making more money in retirement than you did before?
I suppose it boils down to the fact that I always wanted to do that, and my attitude changed from about 2014 when I had a couple of stocks in the Australian Stock Exchange. One was a leading stock, which is called G8 Education. I had it for 2 years. And the other one I had for about 18 months. And from that moment on, that was it. I just knew I was onto something. And I've been very disciplined with my reading and research and what I do and just specializing in O'Neill's work. And then it's just the passion of doing what I do now and the rewards that come. And it just, I suppose you just get that feeling of it's such a rewarding experience. And it's a personal thing because most of the time, all the work that I do, like most investors and traders, you're an individual. You're doing it all by yourself. So it's a very rewarding thing. And I've been very fortunate with some of the people that I've had that have guided me along the way. There's been Robbie Fuller and a couple of other people who were into computers. And I'm not a computer person. I'm challenged by computers. And they were there to help me and back me up and sort out my problems. But as time's gone by, I've now employed an IT specialist to help me out and sort my problems out rather than rely on good-hearted friends. So that's the way it's developed. And I keep on looking forward. I keep looking to the future. And it's that sort of attitude that I want to keep on going because it's good for my mind. It keeps me active. My mind's very active. And to finish off, I'd like to say, I have a choice as to how much time I put into it. It doesn't seem to bother me too much being here and putting in the time with the stock market. I enjoy doing that, but I enjoy nothing better than the travels and the fishing and the camping and the hiking and also socializing with my trading mates. So that's about it, Anne.
Well, thank you. It's a great story and it's very encouraging for anyone out there that considering investing in the stock market, if anyone want to get in touch with you.
The email address for Noel Edwards is oneilinvestor3@gmail.com. So that is oneilinvestor3@gmail.com. Catch you next time.
You have been listening to the podcast show of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson. For more information on the show's guests and being retirement ready, pop on over to my website, www.annnelson.com.au, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Until next time, be happy, stay healthy, and help somebody.